Presented in Revelation chapter 2. Last week we spoke about, talked about the church at Ephesus and how that they were doing some awesome things, but the Lord had one thing, and that was that they had left their first love. They had just grown cold. And so the Lord encouraged them to get that back, get that fire going again. And so today we're going to speak on the church at Smyrna. The church at Smyrna, beginning with the 8th verse of chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, this is the day you need your Bibles, your phones. We don't have it on the screen. And I'm just going to say this. I hate the devil. Brother North, I hate the devil.
Amen.
He gets in technology, whether you believe that or not. And it always seems on Sunday morning, we get ready for church, the computer decides it needs to do an update. That makes me want to throw that, get a sledgehammer, hit that thing. But we're going to come against that for sure. There's got to be a way around that. I don't know how it is. But Jennifer, God's going to give you revelation in how to download and how to get that thing changed. Stop that thing in Jesus' name, especially on Sunday morning. It's got all week long to do its backup. And it chooses on Sunday morning, right when we get ready. Something wrong with that picture, I tell you what. Anyway, all right, that didn't cost you anything. Okay, that was just... All right, Revelation chapter 2, let's get right into it. I purposely left my phone in my office. I didn't want to see the time, okay? So I got a good hour and a half here. We'll get after it, okay? All right, Sister Judy's ready too. And Sister Cherry, boy, y'all... holding down the fort. They're standing up the wall there. And Brother Galen's ready too. All right. Chapter 2, verse 8. To the angel of the church in Smyrna, or to the messenger, or to the pastor. These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. Who are they talking about? Jesus. I know your afflictions. This is from the NIV. I know your afflictions and your poverty. Look what he says. Yet you are rich.
Amen.
Yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Woo, he didn't like that, did he? I don't want to be considered a part of the synagogue of Satan. Oh, my goodness. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whosoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And watch this. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. The second death is hell, where you are forever burning but never fully dying. You'll always be burning and in agony. He says, you will not be hurt at all by the second death. What a promise. Thank you, Jesus. And then over in John chapter 15... this is Jesus speaking. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Woo! All right, I want to speak to you for just a little while this morning about how to live a vibrant and positive life in the face of persecution. There was the story of a woman by the name of Callisto, who lived in the city of Smyrna. She lived around the same time that John the Apostle was working with the house churches there in Smyrna. We don't know very much about Callisto, only that she was instrumental in the life of a young boy by the name of Polycarp. Now, Bradley, what about a name of Polycarp? Polycarp. Callisto meets Polycarp when he was a slave that would have little chance in life to become someone or do something meaningful. Callisto purchased Polycarp and then did some things that transformed his life forever. First, she adopted him as one of her own children. Now, how awesome is that? Polycarp was no longer a slave. He was free. He had all the privileges and rights of a free person in Smyrna. And then she taught him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And she introduced Polycarp then to the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelations and also the book of John, who was so impressed with him that he asked Polycarp to become one of his students. John then poured himself into this young man, and he taught him everything he knew about Jesus and about salvation. That is the world in which Polycarp grew up. His city, the city of Smyrna, was one of the great cities in Asia Minor at that time. It was nicknamed the Ornament of Asia. It was famous for its intellect and its advancements in medicine and art. They say that's where they made the ointment of myrrh. That's what the name comes after. And it was also a sports city with an amphitheater that could hold up to over 20,000 people. Polycarp then became not only an influential leader in his own city, but he became one of the first Christian bishops in Asia Minor. He became famous for his knowledge of Jesus and his commitment to righteousness and holiness. One of his close friends, a bishop by the name of Ignatius, once told Polycarp, "Your mind is grounded in God as an immovable rock." Now, what a testimony is that? That immovable rock then became not only famous for his ability to share Jesus with others, but for his ability to withstand suffering and persecution. Finally, when Polycarp was 86 years of age, he was arrested for his faith in Jesus. He had refused to worship the Roman Emperor Caesar and to proclaim Caesar as the Savior and Lord of the earth. He was taken then to the amphitheater and was told that he would either present a sacrifice to Caesar or else, like the others before him, he would be put to death. Rome had decided that the Christian church was now a threat to its existence. And to choose Christ over the state and over Caesar could now result in a death sentence. History tells us they showed Polycarp the stake where they were going to bind him, and the pile of wood that they would get that they had gathered together, had gathered up, of which they were going to set him on fire. Unless he recanted and proclaimed that Caesar was Savior of the world and not Christ, he would die a horrible death in the flames. Polycarp, it says, looked at the soldiers around him, and at the top of his lungs, he didn't holler out freedom like Mel Gibson's show did. You could, I don't know if you've seen that. What was the name of it? Braveheart, that's it. Polycarp didn't yell freedom, but he yelled out these words for all who had gathered to watch the Christians die at the hands of the gladiators and die at at the hands, at the paws of wild animals, or the sword, or by the fire. Here's what he said. 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? I bless you for considering me worthy of this day and this hour, that I might be among the martyrs and drink the cup of my Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, history says the soldiers set him on fire, and because the wood was slow to catch fire, one of them took a knife and thrust it into his heart. Rather than deny Jesus, this 86-year-old man made a stand for Jesus Christ. And though he's not mentioned anywhere in the Bible, he was the 12th esteemed leader that had been put to death in the Smyrna church in its first 100 years of history. It's hard to imagine being part then of a church that during its first 100 years had 12 of its leaders taken out and put to death for their faith in Jesus. You can only imagine maybe how many others were put to death alongside of all of them. This church in Smyrna then, these house churches that Jesus talks to in our passage this morning. They were strong churches. They were strong in their witness. They were strong in telling their stories. They were strong in their faith. And they were strong in their ability to stand up against persecution. These house churches that were in Smyrna were the only churches, watch this, that Jesus speaks to in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, that there is no reproof and no disapproval. That in itself speaks volumes. So how did Polycarp then get to the point, even as an old man, that he was able to withstand the temptation to just give in and live out his life in peace and quiet and not make any waves? How did he stay true then in the faith all of his life? And how did the others stay true, even in the midst of being persecuted and hounded and threatened for years? Well, here's how. I'm going to give you three of them this morning. Number one, they had a deep foundation in Christ Jesus. And guess what? We must also have that kind of foundation. The Bible tells us that if we follow Jesus, we must be ready to be persecuted. We must be ready to be slandered and lied about. We must be ready to be put under social pressure, emotional pressure, and even physical pressure. And again, Jesus' words from John 15, he said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that they hated me first." If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And here's what the Apostle Paul said in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3 and 12. He said, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." And then in Jesus' own words, this is found in Matthew chapter 5, 10 through 12. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Listen now, we may not have to endure the same level of persecution that Polycarp endured. But if we stand up and speak out for Christ in today's culture, there certainly is an ever-growing level of persecution that we will have to endure. Can you say amen? Amen. You'll find friends. You'll find family members and co-workers who won't believe the way you do. They will disagree with you, and they won't have the same godly values that you do. They won't have the same passion that you have for the Lord. Some will despise you. They'll think you're crazy. And guess what? They'll call you fanatics. Now, how awesome would that be to be called a fanatic? Every day, even in the United States, we're watching faithful believers from school age all the way up to adulthood who are disciples of Jesus Christ being attacked as they promote biblical values. People are being threatened, they're being sued and arrested for even praying in public, mind you, as they stand up for what is right according to God's holy word. Watch this. While at the same time we are seeing murderers and thieves and rioters who burn city blocks in various cities across the U.S. be set free. And they're even given money, monetary reparations for being arrested by the police. You talk about an upside down world. So how then can we prepare ourselves? How can we prepare ourselves to be able to stand true when persecution comes our way, no matter at what level? Again, it's about having a solid foundation in Jesus Christ. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he reminded them, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Listen, when Jesus taught then about how to be a true and faithful disciple, He used the parable of the wise man who built his house upon the rock. You can read it for yourself. It'd pay you to go back, Matthew chapter 7. If we're going then to be able to withstand persecution, simply meaning people lying about us, making fun of us, speaking harshly about us, or even shoving us aside, the only way then that we're going to make it is to have our spiritual armor on and our spiritual foundation deep in the Word of God. Can you say amen? We need then to go to another level, even in reading the Word of God and studying the Word. Why? Because we need to comprehend what the Spirit is saying to us now and on a daily basis. And to be able to assimilate that truth into our hearts and lives. We need to understand why we believe what we believe. And please hear me today, because persecution will either drive us away from God and towards bitterness, or watch this, or it will drive us towards God and ultimate victory. Amen. I want to be driven towards God. Amen? Don't succumb to the enemy and his tricks. When you're bombarded weekly, if not daily, with sickness and not enough money to go around and unforeseen circumstances, if you're not grounded in God, if you're not grounded in His Word, you're going to find yourself being beaten and thrown around like a raggedy doll in the mouth of the enemy. And after a prolonged period of that happening, guess what? You're going to find yourself weary, and you're going to find yourself worn down and no longer able to fight. And the enemy then sits back and laughs and says, "I got you now. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, you're a light unto me." Don't allow yourself to get to that point. Stay in the Word. Stay tuned into the frequency of heaven, where when you hit the floor in the morning, when your feet hit the floor, you're already worshiping and you're thanking God that you're strong in the power of His might. And you're ready to face whatever the day may bring, knowing that you're the victor and not the victim. For a brief period, the prophet Elijah found himself overwhelmed by persecution. He had just experienced one of the greatest victories of his life up on Mount Carmel. But immediately after the victory, Queen Jezebel sent him word that as soon as she could, she would personally put him to death. And that's what evil does. It doesn't quit. It comes back with a renewed vengeance. You would have thought after such a great spiritual defeat that King Ahab and Queen Jezebel would have crawled off somewhere to lick their wounds. But instead, Queen Jezebel doubled her efforts against the Lord and against Elijah. She was more committed than ever to seeing Israel reject God and accept false gods. She was even more committed than ever to having Elijah caught and burned at the stake. The Bible tells us then that Elijah, instead of facing persecution, now this is a great prophet of God, look what he does. He goes and he runs away to hide. The Bible says he goes out to the wilderness. You know, at times I think we've all either wanted to do that or have done that to a certain extent. Let me explain. When people start lying about you or cursing you or shouting at us or trying to harm us, we just become quiet. We stop talking about Jesus and we go to our corner and we don't say another word. We just stay quiet. Well, if they don't want to hear it, I'm just not going to say nothing. And we stay quiet. Understand that God came down and rescued Elijah. And He'll do the very same thing for every one of us. He helped him find a safe place. He fed him, the Bible says, and made sure that Elijah felt safe. The Lord helped Elijah come to a deeper faith because He knew in the weeks and the months to come that Elijah would have to be stronger and understand more and be established in his faith than he had been ever before. And we as believers must do the same. Listen now, when the Luciferian globalist elite what they have planned for us, we cannot face the next few years with shallow faith or doubting ourselves and unsure of who we are in Christ. You've got to know, they already know when they're planning the next variant. And they're already telling us, well, it's coming in the fall. It's going to come in October. And now they're saying, well, we're going to have masks. We already got it set up with the airlines. You're going to put masks back on. Oh, they want to control us. Don't you let them control you again. You stand up. Don't you believe the lies of the enemy. We have to determine right now that we're going to higher heights and deeper depths in the Spirit. That's the only way we're going to be able to overcome whatever comes our way. We must dig deeper in the Word. Our prayer life has to become richer. It has to become purer and even more powerful. And we must not fail to daily put on God's armor of salvation and truth and righteousness and faith and peace. Before you even walk out your door. So not only will having then a firm foundation concerning our faith in Christ that will keep us during persecution, number two, we must connect with one another, with fellow believers like never before. The Lord deepened Elijah's faith, and He then instructed him to go out and link up with others like Elisha and Jehu and Hazael. You can read it for yourself what happened in the days after that. He was to find other people that he could link up with and, yes, lean into for strength and vision. And that is what the early church did in Acts chapter 4 when it came under persecution, speaking of the church at Jerusalem. The early church, listen, could have splintered and disappeared, but it didn't do that. It came together and it connected with one another and it leaned, if you please, into one another. It learned the importance that in numbers there's great strength. It also learned that the more people it brought to faith, the less chance then there was for persecution, and that's a vital key. And for the last 100 years to now, the church in America has had to endure less persecution than those who live in other parts of the world. It has been that way up to our present time because most people in America have loved God. And they have loved their church, and they have loved their family. But we know we have an enemy that has tried to divide all of that. So it's vital today that we don't hide away from persecution. It's vital that we do what those house churches did in Smyrna. They did not hide. They did not disappear. They stood their ground. Now here's a word picture to help us understand. They linked themselves together like children do when, I don't know if they play this game anymore, but we did as a kid, like they play the game Red Rover, Red Rover. Send somebody right over. Okay, whoever it was, Linda or Sue or whoever. They learned or they leaned into one another and they supported one another when someone tried to break them apart. Do you understand that word picture? Remember, we held our arms strong because here he came. That little boy about 300 pounds, here he came. And we were holding our arms tight where he couldn't break. And of course, he knocked us all down, but he didn't break through the line. That's why it's so important that we not neglect the gathering together as a body. Don't give in to the pull of the flesh. Listen to this. Don't give in to the pull of the flesh when it's time to come together on Sunday and Wednesdays or even on special occasions. Guess what? You'll find that there's an ache and a pain that comes a knocking at your door. Every Wednesday and every Sunday to keep you away from who? Keep you away and alone from the rest of the flock. Oh, the enemy knows. He knows just what to do. Thank you very much. And here's what happens. Many times the wolf is already out there looking for that lone sheep that lags behind and stays to itself. And guess what? Then it becomes an easy prey. So not only being grounded in your faith, not only staying connected then with fellow believers. Number three, and I'm finishing up, we need to ask the Lord for more of His Spirit. The house churches of Smyrna followed the same direction that the early church in Jerusalem followed in Acts chapter 4. We find in Acts 4 where Peter and John had been released from prison and they went back to their own people and they reported to them all what the elders had said and what the chief priests had said. And when they heard this, when the house churches heard this, they raised their voices in prayer to God. In other words, the saints came together and they had a prayer meeting. And guess what? It wasn't a quiet little lay me down to sleep prayer. They asked for the Lord to help them speak His word with even greater boldness than they had before. They asked Him to stretch out His hand to heal and perform signs and wonders more than ever before in the name of Jesus. Watch this. In verse 31 of Acts 4, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, they were already saved, but I'm telling you, there was a fresh and more powerful anointing that came upon them. Amen. How do we know that they, The house churches of Smyrna then did something very similar to that. Well, because after 2,000 years of constant struggle and persecution and trials, it is said that today the city of Smyrna is no longer called Smyrna, but it's called Izmir, and it's on the western edge of the country of Turkey, right on the sea. Despite the area being unfavorable to Christianity, we know there's most of that is the Muslim population, it still has a vibrant Christian presence of thousands in that area. And guess what? The oldest church is the Church of St. Polycarp, which of course should not be surprise us at all. So, will we be persecuted? Yes, Jesus says we would. What can we do about it? We can strengthen our foundation in Christ. We can dig deep into the Word of God, learning and understand and receiving its truth and its life. And again, we can put on that spiritual armor. And in our daily time of devotion, before we leave our house, ask for strength for the day. Ask Him for discernment and wisdom and knowledge and understanding from above to deal with any situation that might come up in our lives. Lord, You know what's going to happen. You know what's going to come about today. I don't know, but I'm asking You to give me wisdom and how to deal with it when it comes, and even discernment and how to avoid what's coming. Show me if there's an ambushment by the enemy that's going to try to get me to say what I shouldn't say. Guard my mouth. Listen, begin anew to make Psalm 91 daily a part of your devotion. Ask the Lord to guard your heart and to only speak what He would have you speak. Again, we can stay connected to one another. We can pray and support those who face intense persecution. According to Christianity Today, the Open Voice, Voice of the Martyrs, and all the other persecutions, there are over 70 countries in the world that in various ways persecute Christians. Last year alone, almost 6,000 Christians were put to death. Over 120,000 lost their homes, and approximately 6,000 churches and schools were destroyed because they proclaimed Christ in their lives. You mean that happened? Yes, last year. This morning, let's pray that God will give us then the courage to stand up, to not be silent, even in our own community, in our own circle of influence, to be able to share the message of Jesus with love. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's determine anew that we're going to dig deep in God's Word and strengthen our faith and connect more with the body. We need each other to speak and receive strength, words of strength and encouragement. Come on down, Brother Galen. Take it on yourself. When you see someone that's not here, look around. They're not here on a Sunday or Wednesday night. Check on them. Let them know that they are missed. Pray for a fresh outpouring then of the Holy Spirit to come and bring strength and courage and miracles to the body. Don't quit praying for miracles. And one other thing we must realize this morning, and that is what is happening in other countries can happen here in the West. We are not immune to a time of testing and persecution. For 86 years, Polycarp had been able to grow as a disciple. He had been able to go to church, teach others, and be a bishop. But a Roman leader arose that hated Christianity, and Polycarp and others were arrested and put to death. Listen, if you would have asked the Jews in 1937 that if they thought that almost 6 million of them would be put to death over the next 8 years, it would have been considered unimaginable. No one could have conceived of such an atrocity. You and I do not know what will happen in the next 5 to 10 years. Hopefully our nation and the world will experience one last great awakening. And I believe that is what we all pray for each and every day. However, it may be that the church may have to go through some greater times of testing and trial. And if that is the case, listen, we must be prepared. We must be prepared. How? Be firmly established in our relationship with the Lord, connected to fellow believers, praying for more boldness and strength and the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus promised us His peace, and He told us not to worry. And guess what? God never breaks, Sister North, a promise. We can know that God will provide for our needs no matter what happens in our lives. God will be with you, and He will comfort you in all of your trials. And all He asks of you and me is that we trust Him. Oh, but that's so hard, Pastor. That's all you got to do. He's just asking you to trust Him. And that we obey Him and do His will in our lives, not our own will. We want His will to be done. That's my prayer every day. Lord, I want Your will. I can do nothing without You, but with You all things are possible. And maybe we can become like that church at Smyrna and receive a commendation instead of reproof. This morning, in closing, whether you're watching online or here today, if you don't have that resounding peace that passes all natural understanding that Jesus promised we can have, then listen, there may be something in your life that you need to change. Maybe there's some unrepented sin in your life that you need to confess to God. Maybe there's some unforgiveness or bitterness that you're still harboring. Maybe you're doing your own will in your life instead of God's will. Can I just encourage every one of us here today and those watching online to let God lead you? Jesus is the great shepherd. And we are His sheep, the Bible says. And just like sheep, we are to follow the voice of the shepherd. Yes, Jesus talks to us, but we have to decide that we're going to listen and that we're going to obey. And sadly, so many times when we pray, we get up and forget to listen for the answer. Where are you going? I was getting ready to give you the answer. Well, I just needed to tell the Lord what I needed. I'm going on my way. No. Take the time. Stay there and listen. Make the time. This morning, if you found yourself cold in your faith walk, without the joy and the passion and the peace that you once had with the Lord, I encourage you to change today, that you change that. Recommit your life to the Lord. Change the direction that you're going. Turn back toward the Lord. And if you're here or you're watching online and you don't know Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you can come to know Him in a very personal way right now by inviting Him into your life. If you're not sure of where you would spend eternity if you died before seeing another sunrise, you can be sure. You can be sure. It's going to be in heaven with the Lord, or it's going to be a separation from God in a place called hell. Now, you can be saved from that. God is a loving God, and that is why He gave us a way out. But we have to make the choice to accept His free gift of salvation. That is by you asking Him to save you, to come into your heart and become your Lord and Savior. It's so easy. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You don't have to turn your life around first. Guess what? Jesus will help you with that. Just open your heart to Christ and you will experience a new life. A life that we call being born again. And most importantly then, you will have that assurance of eternal life in the presence of Almighty God in heaven. What better riches can you have than that? The churches of Smyrna may have been poor in the natural, but God said they were rich. All the money in the world cannot buy salvation. No works can buy salvation. It is a free gift for the asking, but you do have to ask for it. And I'm here to tell you, you can know Jesus in a personal way. And you can come back to Him today. You can draw back to Him. He's drawing you. And you can know for sure where you're going to spend eternity. The Lord is ready. And the Lord is calling you to Him and into a new relation with Him. So this morning, right where you are, you know your situation. You know what's happening in your life. You know what you're dealing with. You know where you are in your faith walk. Maybe it's nothing at all. I want you this morning, if you will, I want you to say this prayer after me. And again, this is the beginning of a new journey. It's not a one-day event, but it's the beginning of something new. Amen. Would you just say this after me? Dear Lord Jesus, You said in Your Word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling on You right now. I believe that You died on the cross for my sins and that You arose from the dead on the third day and You're alive right now. Lord Jesus, I'm asking You now to come into my heart. Fill me with Your Spirit. Change me. Live Your life in me and through me. I repent of my sins. I surrender myself totally to You. By faith, I confess You now as my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, I will dedicate my life to serving You. Amen and amen. Can we worship the Lord with a hand clap right now? Thank You, mighty God. Thank You, mighty God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. If you're watching online, let us know if you prayed that prayer. And we would love for you to visit us when you can in person. But until then, we love you and God bless you. Have a blessed week. Let's all gather now.